A prayer, if you guys will bow your heads with me, please. Lord God, we just want to take this time to acknowledge you and invite your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. We welcome you into this time. And God, we ask that you would speak and that, Lord, that you would help us to have ears to hear what you are wanting to say to us today. God, I pray that every single one of us would leave here today having had a real and powerful and true encounter with you and with your love. And God, I thank you in advance for what you are about to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to praise God, yeah. Let's try that one more time. So if you'll take out your message notes from your bulletin, I want to welcome you to 40 Days of Prayer. This is week one. And if you missed the intro last week, you can always go on the church website, www.ccfellowship.org. And there's a sermons tab that you can click on, and you can listen to the messages from the previous week or even before that, or you can even download those if you want to do that. So before we get into what you have in your notes there, I want to share a few observations that I have about prayer. This is something that I'm really, really stoked about, because I really truly believe that God is going to do something very, very powerful in our church, very, very powerful in your lives, in my life, over these next 40 days. It's a known fact that when people focus intensely on God over a period of time, God responds in an amazing way. And so I'm really, really excited, especially to see what God does in you guys' lives. So a couple of observations right away. First of all, the number one observation is that everybody prays at some point. Everybody prays. You were wired by God for prayer. Everybody prays. Everybody in the whole world prays. Buddhists pray. Hindus pray. Jews pray. Catholics pray. Secular people pray. Atheists pray. I mean, you know, anytime an atheist gets hurt, they always shout out to God or Jesus or OMG, you know. Everybody prays. Now, who they pray to or what they pray to may be different, but everybody prays. In fact, it's one of the things that distinguishes you from everything else in the world. It's what distinguishes you from animals. This is what's different about you than animals. Animals don't pray. Cows don't pray. Only people pray because you were made in the image of God. You were created in the image of God. And so you, in your DNA, you've been created. You've been genetically disposed to being able to talk to God and have the desire to talk to God, even sometimes. The Bible says this, and you can look on the screen from Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. It says, God has planted eternity in the human heart. He's planted eternity in the human heart. That means that you have an eternal soul. That means that you're going to last longer than the here and now. And you, there's something within you that realizes that there's more to life. There's more than just what we see and experience right now. And that also means that there's a desire in you, a drive to want to connect with God in some way, because God's wired you to look for him. Everybody prays at some point. Another observation. We're not very good at prayer, and we know it. We're not very good at prayer, and we know it. Everybody that I've ever talked to about prayer admits to feeling inadequate about it in, you know, at times. I hear people say, I don't really know what to say. Or some people say, I don't know how to pray. Some people say, I don't know the right words. I don't know how to say it. Or just, I don't feel real confident about prayer. In fact, I would bet that most of you feel very unconfident about praying in public. If I asked you to get up right now and come up here on stage and lead us in prayer, you'd probably pass out before you got, right? Some of you are breaking out in a cold sweat right now. Like, he's not going to do it, is he? Don't do it. Yeah, because most of us, well, actually all of us, feel inadequate at times when it comes to prayer. It's so interesting. You know, I'm studying this and planning on this, and just like 3 days ago, someone called me, a man that I know, you know, that lives in Roseville or whatever. He calls me, and he's basically in panic mode because he has a friend who's dying of cancer, and he knows he needs to go and spend time with his friend, you know, at the end, and he's going to pray for him, and he calls me, and he goes, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. You know, show me what to do. Tell me what to do. I mean, literally, this, what I'm talking about today, happened 3 days ago with a man who's been a believer for many, many years. We don't feel confident always about prayer. In fact, I've never heard someone come up to me and go, I'm a world-class prayer. Currently ranked number 2 in the world. I'm a professional prayer. I've never heard anybody say that. In fact, perhaps the greatest Christian that's ever lived besides Jesus, and that was the Apostle Paul. Look at what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8. 26, you'll see it on the screen. He said, we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how we should pray. That's the Apostle Paul. He wrote half of the New Testament. We don't even know what we should pray for, and we don't even know how to pray. So if he can say that, it's okay for everyone, all of us, to admit we need to be in the school of prayer. There's things we need to learn. Now, but what about this? Even the 12 disciples, the men that Jesus handpicked to serve with him, they didn't know how to pray. Again, from Luke chapter 11, on the screen you'll see Luke 11, verse 1, says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us how to pray. Show us how to pray. You know, they had spent all that time with Jesus and watched him, watched all the miracles, watched, listened to the powerful preaching, all the teaching, everything that he did, and they realized the power behind all of that was his prayer life. And so they didn't ask, hey, show us how to make water into wine. Show us how to do this. Show us the technique for raising people from the dead. They didn't ask him for any of that. They asked him, teach us how to pray. Because they didn't know how to do it. Jesus prayed constantly. He prayed morning, afternoon, evening. He prayed in secret. He prayed in public. And during this 40-day campaign, we're going to really study Jesus' prayer life because he's our model, he's our pattern, and we're going to really focus on that. The next observation is actually in your notes. Our frustrations with prayer are caused by our misconceptions about prayer. Our frustrations with prayer are caused by our misconceptions about prayer. There's a lot of stuff out there about prayer that's wrong. And maybe some of these things I'm going to show you four. They're in your notes. I'm going to show you four that are pretty common, and you might be able to relate. The first misconception, prayer is not a magic wand. It's not a magic wand. It's not something you wave and poof, you know, everything in your life changes for the better. God's not a genie in a bottle. You don't pray, rub the bottle, and God comes out and, you know, your wish is my command. God's not a genie. God's not your servant. You're God's servant. Sometimes we get that upside down, amen, right? But prayer's not like some secret words. It's not a secret incantation or a chant or some spell or whatever. You don't say the right words and then something magical happens. You know, you don't say some special words and say abracadabra to your husband and he's going to be a great husband from that point on. Don't ever try that, by the way. Prayer's not a ritual of words that you say and things change magically. Second misconception is that prayer's not a fire extinguisher. You know, the one where you break glass and only in case of emergencies. Yeah. How many of us would admit we've treated prayer that way at some point? You know, we don't pray when things are going good. It's only when there's pain, when there's an emergency, when there's crisis, break that glass, pull it out, dust it off. We need to pray. In fact, the terminology is usually, all we can do now is pray. All we can do now is pray. It's the last resort. We've tried everything else. Well, we should probably ask God to get involved in this. No, prayer is actually meant to be our first choice instead of the last resort. You know, it should be before you buy that car, pray. Before you buy that house, pray. Before you say yes to that date, you better pray. Amen. And ladies, before you say yes to marry that guy, you better pray.
Come see your pastor.
You better pray. It's supposed to be our first choice, not our last resort. The next misconception, prayer is not a tug of war. A lot of people think that God doesn't want to answer their prayers, or he doesn't even want to hear from us. And so the thought is that you got to wear God down. You just got to keep badgering and keep pestering him and keep, you know, hassling him and keep begging. And then finally he goes, okay. I'm so tired of hearing from you. Here, you can have it. Prayer's not a tug of war. The fourth misconception is that prayer's not a ritual to relieve guilt. Some of you guys grew up with this, where you were taught that if you sin, if you do something, you know, especially bad enough, you have to go say a certain number of prayers. That's not in the Bible. That's not biblical. It may be traditional, but it's not biblical. In fact, Jesus actually taught the exact opposite of that. Prayer is a privilege. Prayer is not a penance for your sin. It's not a punishment for doing things wrong. Prayer is a privilege. Prayer is a joy. In fact, Jesus said, don't pray prayers that you say the same thing over and over and over and over again. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, Jesus said, when you pray, do not use meaningless repetitions, thinking that you will be heard for your many words. You don't say the same thing over and over and over again. You don't use meaningless repetitions. You don't say religious cliches over and over again. So for the next 40 days, we're gonna deal with a bunch of these misconceptions that may have made you feel like prayer was boring or was a duty that you had to do or whatever. But today what I want to do is I want to cover four foundational truths. Four things that are really the foundation of prayer. That's why this message is entitled A Beginner's Guide to Prayer. I want to look at four foundational things. Everything else that we learn is going to be built upon these four foundations. So the first foundational truth is that God loves for me to talk to Him. God loves for me to talk to Him. God loves for me to talk to Him about anything. About anything. It doesn't have to be spiritual. It doesn't have to be religious. It just has to be whatever I'm interested in. Did you know that if you're interested in something, God is interested in it? Yeah. You may not believe that, but it's true. Whatever you're interested in, God is interested in. I'll show you why. First of all, God loves you. God loves each of you very, very deeply. Do you know you wouldn't exist if God hadn't wanted to love you enough to create you? You exist because God wanted to love you. And when you love someone, you're interested in what they're interested in. I love my wife and my kids. I've become interested in so many things that I never would have because I love my wife and I love my kids. Whatever they're interested in, hey, I'm interested in it. The second thing is, think about this. Where do you think you got your interests? You got them from God. You know, all the things that you consider cool, you know, your hobbies, your, you know, if you like sports or exercise or reading or vacations or whatever, those things came from God because He wired you with them. God's the one that put those interests in you in the first place. And He gave every single one of us different interests because that's how things get done in the world. Amen? Amen. I'm glad that I don't have certain interests because if it was depending on me, that stuff would never get done. But God's given every single one of us interests. The reason that you like to do what you do is because God put it in you. And so He actually knows what you're interested in. He actually knows what you're interested in more than you do because He's the one that gave that interest to you. The next reason is that God loves to talk to His children. God is a good father. The Bible says He's our Father in heaven. And how many of you guys know that that parents, good parents, are interested in what their kids are interested in. So if you're bored with prayer, it's because you're talking to God, you're trying to talk to God about stuff that you're not interested in. You're trying to talk to God about things you think maybe he's interested in. But God wants you to talk to him about what you're interested in. Let me show you some verses. Psalm 103, verse 13. It says, "The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who reverence him." Now, you know, we're talking about prayer, but here's something that you guys need to understand. Whether you ever talk to God or not, whether you choose not to talk to God or not, whether you pray or whether you choose not to pray or whatever, God deeply, deeply loves you. He loves you. You know how a parent, even if their child can't communicate, a parent still loves that child. God loves you, regardless of what you do. But he also longs for the day that you'll talk to him. He wants to hear from you. Talk to him about the stuff that's important to you. Now, prayer is a language. Learning to pray is just like learning to learn a language, whether it's English or Spanish or French or whatever. There's certain things you have to do to learn a language. So how do you learn to pray? Well, it's the same way as that you learn a language. First of all, you have to listen to other people. You have to listen to other people. That's how babies learn language, by listening and by imitating what they hear. And then they start practicing and they get better. Now, let me ask you guys, when you were first born, did you come out speaking like Shakespeare? Some of y'all don't sound like Shakespeare even 60 years later. No, when you were little, you had to start, you know, saying a few words, and then you'd say things the wrong way, but your parents were smart enough to be able to interpret what you were saying, right? Well, God's smart enough to interpret your prayers, even if you're starting out and you don't say things the right way or you're not, you know, comfortable. But the reality is that with God, when you pray, man, everything's good. There's nothing that's off limits. You can't shock God with your thoughts and your prayers. You know, some people think, you know, I need to pray for world peace, or I need some unique, special thing that I need to pray for. You don't have to do that. It could just, God, my stomach hurts. Or if your heart's been broken, you got dumped by a boyfriend or a girlfriend, just tell God what's going on with you. You can talk about anything with God. 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15. It says, "We can be confident approaching God, knowing that he listens to us whenever we ask him for anything according to his will. And since we know that he hears us when we make our requests, then we can be sure that he will answer us." God always hears what you say. It doesn't have to be loud. It doesn't have to have certain language. It doesn't. It's even what you think God hears. And because of that, we have confidence. So you can pray without any shame or any fear or any embarrassment. Just pray. In your notes, it says prayer is, and I want you to write this down. Prayer is, first of all, a conversation. It's not a ceremony. Prayer is a conversation. It's not a ceremony. What's a ceremony? Ceremony is something with there's but a bunch of rules and restrictions and regulations. A ceremony you have to do it a certain way or it doesn't count, right? But in a conversation, you talk and you also listen. Maybe one of the reasons that you're bored with prayer is that you're doing all the talking. You're not doing any listening. But prayer is a conversation, so you've got to talk, but you also have to take time to listen to allow God to speak to you. Sometimes you can just say, God, is there anything that you want to say to me? When I spend time with God, I ask God, talk to me. Is there something that you want to say to me? And then I'll get out the Bible, and then I'll get an impression, maybe go to a certain passage or a certain book of the Bible, and God will speak to me in that way, or it could be other things, or sometimes there's nothing. Hey, that's cool. But we need to not only talk, but we want to listen as well, because it's a conversation. And then for the 40-day period, we're going to learn a lot about not only how to pray, but also how to listen, to God. Prayer is a conversation. It's not a monologue. It's not a speech. It's not a poem. Those things are boring. Prayer is also, you can write this down, prayer is relational, is a relationship, I'm sorry. It's not a ritual. It's a relationship, not a ritual. The focus of prayer is getting close to God, to get close to Him. Talking to God, letting Him know what's going on with you. Talking about the things that are of interest to you. Once you get into that trap of, I've got to pray, I need to pray, I know I'm supposed to pray. It's kind of like exercise or a diet. I know I'm supposed to do this. I know I got to do this. I got to, you know, gut it up and do. Once you get into that trap, man, and you get in that guilt thing, eventually you're not gonna pray at all. So prayer is a relationship, not a ritual. Here's the second foundational principle. God listens to prayers, I love this, that are sincere and simple. God listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. You don't have to use flowery language. You don't have to use fancy phrases. You don't have to sound spiritual. You just talk to God. The only condition is that it's real. It's sincere. It's honest. It's authentic. You don't have to use old English. Oh, thou great potentate of the earth, who does wonderfully bestow His blessings. God's not from England. He's up there going, you check this dude out. You don't have to sound like Shakespeare, amen? I love it that God speaks slang. God knows Ebonics. He knows the language my kids say. I don't even know what some of the words they say, but God does. God speaks every language. So it's just really natural and real, however you talk. God, this is me. And it doesn't have to be long. You know, when you're hungry, you know, all you have to do is go, God, this taco smells good right now. And I'm hungry. Thank you for fast food. Amen. God, thank you for California and for In-N-Out Burger. Amen. Doesn't have to be super spiritual. Just real. When you don't feel good, God, I don't want to talk to you right now. That's a prayer. God, I'm mad at you. That's a prayer. God, I don't get it. I prayed for this and it hasn't happened. That's a prayer. Did you know that 1/3 of the Psalms, 50 out of the 150 Psalms, are called Psalms of Lament? They're complaints. 50 of the 150 are complaints. But they're honest, they're real, they're authentic, and God loves it enough to put them in the Bible. They're not religious and spiritual and all of that. God loves sincere and simple prayers. Have you ever heard people who pray, maybe they're just praying for one thing, but then they say it like 50 different ways? And you're sitting there and you're just thinking, dude, land the plane, please. It's not like God needs for you to explain it. Just say it. You know, anybody know what I'm talking about? Yes. Prayer meeting is supposed to be an hour, and then you're like 3 hours in because, Lord, you know, 50 different ways, you know. Longer is not stronger in prayer. And Jesus had a lot to say about stuff like this. In Matthew 6, verse 5 through 8, he says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. In other words, for them, prayer is a performance. It's something that they want everybody to see and admire about them. He says, instead, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, he says, do not keep babbling on and on like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask. You don't. Prayer is not a sales pitch. He already knows what you need. Just come and simply ask. Be as honest. Be humble. Don't show off. You know, we've all been around people like, you know, hey, check this out. I'm getting ready to deliver a good one. You know, I'm going to knock it out of the park on this one. You know, everybody stand back. You don't get any credit for that. You don't get an extra star for that one. I love the saying, stay humble or you'll stumble. Or remember the lesson of the whale. When you get to the top and you're ready to blow, that's when they harpoon you. Say amen or oh no. Hebrews 10, verse 22 says, let us come near to God with a sincere heart and a sure faith. Sincere heart. God, I'm just going to be straight. This is what's going on. This is how I feel. I'm upset. I'm nervous. I'm afraid. I'm worried. Whatever it might be. Sincere heart, sure faith. We come to God with confidence. Number three, the third foundational truth is that God likes to show his grace by answering prayer. This one's cool. God likes to show his grace by answering prayer. God is a good, good, good God. He's a good Father. And God loves to answer your prayers. He loves to answer your prayers because when he does, he gets to show off. He gets to show what he's really like when he answers your prayers. You know, everything in the universe comes from the generosity of God. Everything comes from the generosity of God. There is no one more generous than God. And when you pray and you ask for something in prayer, it gives God the opportunity to show who he really is and what he's really like, that he's generous. So he loves it when you ask. Over 20 times in the New Testament, we're commanded, it's not a suggestion. It's literally a command of God. Over 20 times in the New Testament, ask. Ask me. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Over 20 times we're commanded. If you're a child of God, if you're a believer, you're a Christian, you're commanded to ask God for things. Why? Because God gets to show how good he is when you ask. He gets to show how gracious he is. He gets to show how loving he is, how generous he is. It shows that he's a good God. Now, I think all of us understand that we don't get a yes with every prayer that we ask, right? Amen. Everybody understands that. Amen. I'm sure everybody has experienced that. But even when the answer is no, God is still, he's good. Do you guys know any parent that gives their child literally every single thing that they ask for? If you did, you would ruin that child, right? You would totally ruin that child. And so there's a lot of reasons why God doesn't say yes to everything you ask for. Sometimes he says no for your protection. Sometimes he says no for your direction. Sometimes he says no for your correction. There needs to be a course correction in your life. Sometimes he says no for your perfection. For you to grow. Sometimes he says no for your inspection. He sees something inside of you that you need to see that maybe you haven't seen before. But God answers all of your prayers. A lot of times people go, you know, I prayed and God didn't answer. Yeah, he did. He said no. There's always four answers from God whenever you pray for something. Yes, we love that one. Right. No, we don't like that one.
Right.
Not yet. Not a big fan of that one. And then there's, you got to be kidding me, right? You know, a small child doesn't know the difference between no and not yet. And so maturity is realizing when that God's delays aren't always his denials.
Right.
It takes maturity to understand that. Because there's times when God says, you know what? I have every intention to give you this, but not yet, because you're not ready.
Yeah.
You're not ready for it. You're not mature enough to handle this yet. You need to grow. Jeremiah 33, verse 3 says, God says, call to me and I will answer you. I will show you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. Sometimes God's answer is to try to give you a bigger perspective. To help you see things in a different way. Some of the prayers, if If God had given you what you asked for, it would have destroyed you. And God only gives you what's good. Matthew 7, verse 11, Jesus said, if you, being imperfect and sinful parents, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? And then James 4, verse 2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. And this is the thing that we're going to build on for the next 40 days. You do not have because you do not ask. This is interesting. I want you to think about this for a sec. When you don't pray, there's a lot of things you miss out on in life. I can't help but wonder, when we get to heaven, will there be a list of all the stuff we missed out on because we didn't pray for it? Wouldn't that be interesting? Won't that be interesting? There has to be. There has to be things that literally you're missing out on because you're not asking God for. You have not because you ask not. So here's the last foundational truth. This one may be the biggest one of all. Number 4, that God longs to be close to me. God longs to be close to me. Isaiah 30, verse 18 says, the Lord waits for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. Did you know that? Did you know that every day that you don't pray, every day that you don't spend reading God's word, every day that you don't worship or you're not in God's presence, that God is waiting for you? He waits. He waits for you. You know, we have a little dog. It's Pastor Luann's dog, actually. Not big enough to be my dog. But. No, I love our dog. It's, don't. No nasty letters. But I tell you what, man, what is so incredibly cute is that in our house there's a window that faces the driveway, and our couch is up against that wall, that window, and so Polly, that's his name, Polly climbs up on the top of the couch and sticks his head through the curtains, and he sits and he waits for Luann. And I'll even be in the house. He completely turns his back on me, and he's staring out the window, waiting. And as soon as her car pulls into the driveway, his tail starts wagging, and he gets all excited because he's been waiting because he loves Luann. And literally, God sits and waits for you to pray, to take a moment out of your incredibly busy and super important day to go, hey, God, how's it going? Let me tell you about my day. He's waiting. You were created for a relationship with God. You were wired for that. The Bible has lots of examples of people that were close to God. But you need to know that there's no one who will ever love you more than God loves you. There's no human being that will ever love you more than God loves you. God wants you to learn how to love him back. You know, there's a lot of people that know about God, but that's different than knowing God. I've known God, I've walked with God for 30 years. Jesus is my best friend, other than my wife. I know Jesus better than I know any of you. And I know that God wants you to know him the way that I do. I know he wants you to feel his love the way that I feel. And so that's really the motivation behind this whole 40-day campaign that we're doing. It's an opportunity for you to, you know, to be here on Sundays, to be here each Sunday, to sign up for the group, read the devotionals every day, you know, to do the stuff, because it's all about building a relationship, a better relationship with Jesus. Man, I hope that you won't just walk away today going, yeah, the music was good and that was cool, yeah, all right. So how do I get closer to God? How does that happen? Well, first of all, you have to want it. You have to desire it. And then you have to make time for it. Because that's the only way it's going to happen. Psalm 25:14 says, friendship with God is reserved for those who reverence him. With them, he shares the secrets of his covenant. God literally shares secrets with you when you make time for him. Yeah. God says things to you when you make time for him that he doesn't say to other people that don't. That's friendship with God. In James 4, verse 8, it says, he says, draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. So as I close, there's so many benefits that go with being close to God, having that friendship, that relationship that we're talking about. I want to give you just one as we close here. It's in your notes. And that is, the closer I am to God, the less stressed and more blessed I will be. Hey, somebody needed that. The less stressed and the more blessed I'll be, the closer I am to God. The whole purpose of this next 40 days is to deepen your friendship with God. You need to know God better. You need to be closer to God, and he's waiting. You guys bow your heads. Lord God, we're excited as we start this 40-day period, God, where we focus on you and we learn how to get closer to you, how to pray, how to listen, how to love you, and how to receive your love. And God, I just pray for every single one of us here today, that today would be the beginning of something very, very special in our lives, and that none of us would miss it. With every head bowed, I want to ask you, if you're here today and if you've not made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, it's the beginning of everything that we're talking about. God is waiting for you to say yes to his love. that you would have a true relationship with him, that you would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're in his family, that you're forgiven of your sins, and that your relationship with him is based upon his perspective and not just our own ideas. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one door. There's only one gate through which we go through for eternal life, and Jesus is that gate. He said, believe in me. Confess with your mouth that I am the Lord. And so if you're here today and if you've not done that and you want to make that decision today and say yes to him, would you just simply lift your hand? I just want to lead you in a simple prayer to establish that relationship with Jesus if you need to do that today. Anyone need to make that decision today? Next, I want to ask, are you ready to draw closer to God? Are you ready to do what it takes to truly want to be close to him and to make time for him? Are you ready to make that decision today? And if that's you, would you just lift your hand right now as well? Amen. 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 Lord God, you see the hands of the people that are raised right now, God. And I just pray, Lord, that as they step into this, God, that you will meet them in a powerful, life-changing way. God, we look forward to what you're going to do and the miracles that we're going to get to see. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give the Lord praise?